You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Robert Weldon from Grace Lutheran Church in Elyria, Ohio. Good morning, Pastor Weldon.
Good morning.
So good to have you with us this morning. Tell us about your congregation, Grace Lutheran Church in Elyria, Ohio.
Yes, we're a congregation of about 400 members here. We're about 20 miles west of Cleveland, and we're a congregation that's excited about the opportunity to do ministry here. We have a growing preschool. In fact, this next year we're adding on a two-year-old mommy and me class that we're going to use to meet and greet and to try to get people even more people tied into our congregation.
Well, very good. Where is Elyria, Ohio?
Like I said, it's about 20 miles west of Cleveland. If you take a look at how all the highways kind of come together, we're right there at that point where like four different highways come together.
Well, very good. Very good. Well, we are getting ready to study Luke chapter 19 this morning, verses 11 through 28. What would you like for us to know about this text?
Well, this particular text is one that that really goes beyond what you kind of hear at first. I know that as you hear it, it sounds very, very similar to the text of the tenants. But however, where that one is specifically talking about stewardship of the word, this particular one goes even farther than that. It goes to a point of the kingship of Jesus Christ, the fact that that he is the king, he is the one, the noble one, the one of noble birth, that is going to have to leave in order for his kingship to be applied to him. And see, what he's really trying to do is he's talking to his disciples as he's approaching Jerusalem. And as he's going there, he's telling them what this whole situation is going on is all about. The fact that he will have to leave them, and he will do that, and he will reign, and he will receive his kingship, but yet he is going to leave his gifts here. He's going to leave the word of God with them, and that they will use that, and they will have to use that gift of God. They will have to use those words. But there's also a warning in this as well, and that warning is that there are going to be people that receive this gift that aren't going to use it properly, that are going to misuse it. And of course, what he's talking about here are the Pharisees, and that's a message that applies then and applies now too. We see even in our country today, and even in some of our churches today, where that word of God has been given to people, but yet it's been misused and used for the wrong reasons.
All right. Very good. We are studying Luke chapter 19 today, verses 11 through 28 with Pastor Robert Weldon from Grace Lutheran Church in Elyria, Ohio. If you have a question or a comment on the text, give us a call. 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Jenny is ready to answer your call this morning and put you into the queue so we can share your question or comment today. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, Pastor, are we ready to take a look at Luke chapter 19?
And we're ready.
All right, here we go. Verse 11. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas. Do you pronounce it minas or minas?
I just say a mina.
Mina, that's how I pronounce it too. All right. So he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know what they had gained by doing business. Let's pause there before we get into the rest of the text. Let's take a look at this first section here. Okay. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately.
Right.
What were the things that, as they heard these things, what are the things that they heard?
Well, as they were hearing these things are all of the things that would have to happen to Jesus. You know, he's approaching Jerusalem now. He's getting to a point to where soon his disciples are going to see things that they didn't think and they didn't expect would happen. As it said a little bit earlier, they expected that the kingdom of God would come immediately. And in fact, many people, as he went through and he talked, they wanted to see an earthly kingdom. They wanted to see a political kingdom. They wanted to see a military kingdom. But they wanted to see these things happen. And when and as Jesus was coming here, he realized that. And what he wanted to do was tell them that as you see the things that are about to happen, as you see things that aren't going to go exactly the way that you expect them to be, let me tell you this parable that really kind of describes how things are going to happen here. Because, like I said, their intent was that Jesus was going to come in and he was going to establish a kingdom on this earth, and it was going to be one that was going to be immediate.
So, verse 12, he said, therefore, a nobleman went into, and so here begins the parable. Right. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. So he goes into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. How does one receive for himself a kingdom?
Well, in this, what happens is that this kingdom is something that is given to. It is not something. It is not something that he builds for himself. It is not something that he takes or he conquers. But what happens is that this nobleman goes off into, has to go away, and this kingship is then applied to him. In other words, you know, he is ordained. He is, he is coronated. It is applied to him. And in this parable, we see Jesus as being the one that has to go away in order for this to happen. Of course, we know that for Jesus, he goes into the heavenly realms, and it's there that his Father applies this kingship to him. He places him in the throne of honor and allows him to reign at the right hand of God the Father. And we see that when we talk about and we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we pray and we listen to the and recite the creeds, in that we understand that Jesus is the one that goes and reigns at the right hand. And so that kingship is applied, and he has to go away in order for that to happen, just as sometimes the nobleman, see, the nobleman by birth is one that receives that, but in order to receive that crown, he has to go away to this land in order for that that coronation to happen.
So a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return, calling 10 of his servants. He gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. So he gives them all. He calls 10 servants and gives them money, gives them 10 minas, right, and says, engage in business until I come.
Right, right. And that business is the business of the church. That business is the business of going out and proclaiming that message, that business that's there. I mean, he uses money as an example here because most people will understand the idea of taking money, applying it, using it, allowing it to earn money or increase because of interest in that. So whenever you take something and you apply it and you put it to work, there is a return that comes back to it. And so in this parable, we see that Jesus is using that as the example, but he's talking about the Word of God, and that being that which goes out and earns and will bring back the increase.
So he gives them the 10 minas and says, engage in business. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us.
Well, obviously here he's talking about some of the Pharisees and some of those people that are here. Some of the people that he's talking about are those of the Sanhedrin and those who we know that when Jesus goes into the goes into Jerusalem and he is he is proclaimed this message, that there are people that did not want to hear the message, that they had other agendas in their life, and they did not want to change the way that they viewed their life and the things that they have. They were comfortable in those. And so they see this king coming in, and in their minds is going to change the way and take them out of what their situation was. And so they don't like him. They don't want to reign under him. We see that with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they were quite comfortable. They had power, they had money, they had prestige. And in this, they knew that what Jesus was saying really kind of turned their world upside down, because what it did, it took the power away from them. And it placed that power of God and that power of proclamation now into the people. And he was bringing a message that they didn't want. And so they did not like him. They did not want to be under him. They wanted to keep things the way that it was.
When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. So here comes the test. Here comes the proof, right? I gave you the minas. I told you to engage in business. Now, here, show me the money.
That's right. And that's and what Jesus is alluding to here is he's alluding to there is going to be a day when everyone will be called to account for that which he has been given. And obviously, when we see it from an eschatological situation, what we're talking about is the day in which Jesus will come back. He will come back as the king, and he will call everyone. In other words, it's Judgment Day. It's the day of the Lord when he will take a look at those, and he will judge each of us according to our actions, according to what we have done, and really, when it comes down to it, our faith. What have we done with our faith?
Shall we go on to the next section where we see their responses? Anything else up through verse 15 before we go on to 16?
No, I think that gives us a good picture, because like you said, here is what Jesus is really describing here is the fact of his kingship, mm-hmm. the fact that he has to go and receive his kingship, and that one day that he has left his gifts, he has left his word here, he has left the church here in order to do the work, do his work, do the work of the king. But there are people that do not like him. There are people that don't. But he does say that there will be a day in which I will come back, and that will be the judgment day. So that kind of sums up really the way that we see this world and see time in and of itself.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Robert Weldon from Grace Lutheran Church in Elyria, Ohio. We're in Luke chapter 19. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Stick around. We've got more study of God's Word right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We are excited to walk alongside Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members and ministries as they witness and perform works of mercy and compassion around the world. Investments with LCEF provide the exceptional financial resources used daily to build faith communities and serve God's people. Our loans and ministry support services are available to LCMS congregations, schools, and organizations, as well as rostered church workers. Visit LCEF today.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You're listening to His Time. We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Robert Weldon from Grace Lutheran Church in Elyria, Ohio. We're in Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 28. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email. 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Our email address is kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, Pastor, let's pick up at verse 16, shall we?
Yes.
The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little. You shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Wow. All right, so the first came before him and saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities.
That's right. What he's showing us here is that for those who have been faithful, for those who he has given the gifts, that for those who he's given the word, that they faithfully go out and they proclaim it. And one aspect to this is that as they proclaim it, the word works. The word spreads. The word creates more. And so when by just simply going out and doing and working that word and increasing, he's being faithful in his calling. He's being faithful by using the word of God in the way that it should be. And so just as this person went out and used the minas and did it over 10 cities, and when the judgment comes, that he looks at him and he sees that he's faithful, and because he has been faithful in a little bit, and even in just a much, he says that look at what's going to happen. Because you were faithful in a little, you were going to be faithful in even more. And so he gives to him even more. And those are the treasures, those are the blessings that we see when we're in heaven. Those when the new world and the new order comes together, that for those who are faithful to him, that more will be given. And that's something that even though he puts it mm-hmm. in these terms, that really for us, we have no real idea of how much more God's blessings are going to be bestowed upon us once we are deemed faithful. And that's exactly what he's doing with this first one. Is he's saying, you've been faithful with this amount, and so therefore much more is going to be given to you.
And so the first one returns with 10. The second says, and the second came saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. So the first one brings 10, the second one brings 5.
That's right, that's right. And I think what Jesus is trying to show them is that the jobs that we are going to have, the gifts that we're going to be given are going to be different depending on the different people. It's not going to be everybody has the same amount, but each of us are going to have different jobs and different tasks. I guess a way that you could apply that today is taking a look at it. Just as I come before and I'm here and I've got the blessing of being able to speak on the radio about God's word, and just as I'm able to go and to preach in the pulpit on Sunday mornings as a pastor, not all people will be pastors, not all people will have that role. Other people will have different roles, but yet the gifts of God, the word of God, the work of the church is for all of us, and he will be given to us in different amounts. However, it still comes down to the idea of faithfully living that life and faithfully proclaiming that word and using that word of God in the way in which God intends us to do it.
And so we have 10 minus, 5 minus, and then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest?
Well, this is certainly one of those areas where we see the truth of what happens out there. This particular servant knew what the will of God was. He knew what the will of the master was, and he was given charge over a portion of it. He was given the gifts as well, but yet what did he do with them? Knowing full well what was expected to him, he didn't use it. He didn't even take it and put it in, like you said, he didn't put it in a bank to where that would earn interest. In other words, what he did, it was he hid it. He didn't use it. He didn't let people see it. He didn't proclaim it. He knew what it was. He knew what the expectations were. But yet here it was. He had it, and he knew that judgment would come. He knew that he would be held accountable for it, but in it he was afraid and he didn't use it. And so how do we apply that? We apply that from the standpoint of some people, the word of God is given to them, and they know that judgment day will come one day, but yet when they are in a position to where they can use that word, even just speaking small words, things like, I'll pray for you. What they did was they hid it. They didn't allow people to see that they were in charge of this. They didn't let people see that word of God. And so what happens is that he just hid it and didn't use it. And so when he comes back, when the master comes back, the real question comes down to faith. Did he have faith? And obviously he didn't, because here was this word, here was this treasure that was given to him, and he didn't use it. He didn't use it in any way.
And so he said to those, verse 24, and he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me.
That's a hard thing for us to hear. And I'm sure it was a hard thing for his disciples to hear as well. But really that is an understanding of what's going to happen on the day of judgment. First of all, God has bestowed gifts upon his people as well as those who are not claim to be his. God bestows his benefits upon both the believer and the unbeliever. But yet, in the end time, what will happen is God will call everyone together to have an account. And for those who he finds in faith, for those who he finds have used his word and have proclaimed it, then he will gather them together and he will take them to where he is. And for those who aren't, for those who are unbelievers, for those who doesn't have faith, he will cast them into the he will cast them into a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Obviously, there are some times where we take a look at those and we say those who are unbelievers, how they prosper in this world. And so when we look at the earthly gains and the earthly things, what we have to understand is that there will be a day in which Christ will come again, and he will gather up his people. He will separate the sheep from the goats, those who believe from the unbelievers. And for those who are the believers, for those who are the sheep, he gathers them and he gives them even more than what we can even imagine, the blessings that he bestows upon us. But then for those who aren't, he sends them to live with their master, which is Satan, which means that the gains that they had on this earth, the things that they thought that they had, will be taken. Even for those who didn't have, even that will be taken. And the riches of all heaven will be given to those who believe. And so that's what we really see in this. It is the condemnation of the unbeliever. It's not God's desire to do that. It's not what Jesus wants. It's not what the king wants to happen. However, there are going to be those that are going to hate him. And no matter what they hear, even when they do hear the word of God, even when some of these people are given the word of God, that they basically turn their back on the word of God and they stay in unbelief. And so they will be judged accordingly. And unfortunately, the judgment is very severe. It is death. When we talk about death, we're not talking about the physical death. What we're talking about is a spiritual death, being placed in a place where they are no longer with Christ, where God is no longer in control, where it's separation from God.
Anything up through verse 27 before we go on to the last verse 28?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. Like I said, this is a picture. All of these so far are just a picture of the end times, what's going to happen on this earth, how things are going to progress until the king comes once again.
Verse 28, and when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. So after he had said these things, this parable, this teaching, he went on ahead toward Jerusalem.
Well, and that is going to be the fulfillment of the parable, is that now what he's doing is he is going up towards Jerusalem to the point in which he would now do the work in which his father had had. He begins the work that brings his kingship, that brings the kingdom of God. And so he knows what lies ahead. He knows that he will have to suffer and die in order for his kingdom to come into reality, to meet those who are there in earth. And so that's where he's going, is he's going in order to die for you and me, for all those who believe, and he is going to start the beginning of the receiving of his kingship.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Robert Weldon from Grace Lutheran Church in Elyria, Ohio. Pastor Weldon, thanks so much for being our guest pastor this morning and helping us study this text in Luke chapter 19.
Well, thank you for having me this morning.
It was a privilege to get to have this time with you, to get to study God's word with you. God bless you and all the saints there at Grace Lutheran Church in Elyria, Ohio. Coming up in just a little bit, we have more His Time, including some sacred music to help start your morning right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.